Hey, PDU crew, this is Velio Matos, the host of Package Design Unboxed, and this week I want to do something a little bit different. So far, we've recorded over 70 episodes, and I want to go back and take a look at some of the great advice we've received over the last few years. Today, we're going to hear from Katie Kubrak, Tom Zaki, and Bo Peck, all experts in sustainability with their own views and practice. I'm going to include links to their full episodes in the show notes so you can go back and listen to more. Now, this episode, I wanted to make sure that it was actionable and easy for you to apply into your daily design process. Therefore, I'm going to be adding my own commentary and examples of how to apply their tidbits into your design process today. And if you like this type of episode and you want me to do more of these, just let me know on Twitter, LinkedIn, or just leave me a voicemail on packagedesignunbox.com, and we can do more of these around materials, production, and packaging design. One more thing, if there's anything that you want to learn about packaging design and you want to hear it on this show, just drop me a note and I'll make sure that we get to it. All right, so let's jump right in.
What kinds of cardboard box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
It loses its value if you take it out of the packaging.
All right, so way back in episode 5, Tom Zaki of TerraCycle and Loop, we both defined sustainable packaging and we discussed ways that designers can reframe the idea of sustainable design. Now, there's no better place to start this entire episode than with Tom Zaki himself defining sustainable packaging.
What is sustainable packaging? Is packaging that has truly sustainable would be something that has no net impact whatsoever. One step up could even be packaging that does more benefit than harm. And then within sort of levels of harm, I would think, you know, the hierarchy to think about in packaging would be, how do you eliminate the entire idea of packaging? I know that's sort of interesting, is to be a packaging designer and have to have no packaging, but that is amazing if possible. Then how to make packaging reusable, then how to make it fully recyclable and from recycled content. And then from there, you know, let's call it disposable and, you know, large volumes of disposable. That would be about sort of the hierarchy to think about. Within sustainability, right? Because obviously packaging has a lot of other roles, not just sustainability.
All right, so how can you take that little bit of information and make that something that's useful to you today? When you're talking to a client, when you're talking to your team internally, and they're talking about wanting to make packaging more sustainable, the first thing that you can do is really look at ways that we can eliminate packaging. Now, if you're a packaging company, a packaging manufacturer, a packaging design team, obviously it goes completely counter to what you want to do in terms of eliminating packaging. But really what you're doing is you're just creating one more parameter to design within. And of course, as designers, we need parameters. Otherwise, if we're given a blank page, it's almost impossible to find the right solution. So how can you create packaging that reduces the amount of components of packaging? You know, can you eliminate adhesives? Can you eliminate inks? Can you eliminate, you know, what can you take away from the packaging that's required and only leave the true essence of what's needed for product protection, consumer experience, and branding? So what are the materials that you should be using? Tom's going to go ahead and explain what the materials are that you should be looking at and what kind of a palette you should be creating for yourself in order to design sustainable packaging.
The things to think about as pack designers to make recyclable packaging, like aluminum, uncoated papers, clear rigid PET, and rigid light colored HDPE, all in forms that are greater than, say, 2 cubic inches. That's your general sort of palette if you want to be safe. Oh, and clear glass would be the other one. But that's your general palette if you want to be safe within recycling, and of course, never to mix the materials. Now, the challenge, if you're a pack designer, that's a very limited palette, but that is the palette to think about if you want to design into today's average recycling systems. And the effect of what we're going through now in COVID is only going to make this more challenging. The pallets can end up shrinking because recycling is taking a big punch to the face economically due to low oil prices.
All right, so maybe that low oil price comment didn't age well, but recycling has seen tightening of acceptable materials globally as the focus remains on the most profitable materials to recycle. When he was talking about what materials you should choose, he also mentioned making sure that it was bigger than 2 cubic inches. Why does size matter when we're talking about materials? Because the equipment that's used to separate all those materials when it gets to the recycling stream, there are gaps in the screens. These screens are meant to pull the materials along the top of them. You know, larger cardboard boxes, think of your Amazon boxes. Compare that to like a small makeup compact. You can't separate both of those items from each other without having something fall through the cracks. And literally, anything less than 2 cubic inches, essentially the size of your fist, is going to fall through the cracks. So make sure that if you're packaging something that's really small, you might have to increase the size of your pack in order for it to become recyclable, which sounds, again, counterintuitive, but you have to work within the infrastructure that's built in order to really maximize that. If you're trying to reduce the amount of packaging, you get it really small and it's smaller than 2 cubic inches, guess what? It's going to landfill. Just keep in mind, not just the materials that he mentioned, but also the size component. It's really important that you do that. All right, so next we've got Katie Kubrak from Nirvana CPH. She was in episode 13. Now, Katie and I discuss her 10 commandments of sustainable packaging design. In it, Katie explains new ways to view sustainability and what you can do as a brand and as a designer. It's an episode with 10 very actionable solutions to increasing your sustainability and the sustainability of your packaging. We've all heard about reduce, reuse, and recycle. Now, besides making claims that you can reuse your box as like a cat tree or a jewelry box, what does reusing packaging actually mean? And if you're considering making your packaging a cat tree or claiming that your box can be reused as a toy for children, please don't. You're better off just clearly explaining how to break down the box in order to recycle it. Katie's going to explain reuse in a different fashion and maybe something you should take into consideration when you're designing packaging and you're wanting to implement reusability.
Reuse packaging and products. Reuse means essentially extending the life loop of the same product without modifying it or repairing it in any way. And this basically can help to make the production cost, in terms of the environmental cost, neutral. And I feel a good example for this is Able and Cole. It's a company here in UK, which basically distributes groceries and food, fresh produce, etc. And what they do is they send you their stuff. So, you know, your apples, your bananas, your everything in those cardboard boxes. And then these boxes are being collected by the delivery guy the next week. So instead of just leaving them with you, they keep collecting them and they reuse them from between like 6 to 10 times. So when you think about paper being that mixed loop product, you know, before these cellulose fibers go into an actual next loop of being made into something new, they have these, you know, additional 6 to 10 times life. Yeah, so it's just extended. So I think that's a great example of that.
So when I hear brands talk about reusable packaging, what I see is the product packaging that's delivered to the consumer, that they've got some secondary use for that, whether it's a jewelry box, a cat tree, like I said earlier. It's some type of solution that doesn't necessarily deliver a solution. It's just a delay before it goes to the landfill. Now, what Katie's talking about is stop looking at the product packaging. And let's talk about the transit packaging. Your product had to arrive in a warehouse, had to go to a distribution center in some form of packaging. Now, can we create that packaging to be more durable? Whether it's paperboard, corrugated, plastic, metal, you know, what can we use where we can get more uses out of that particular pack? It can be broken down and resent back to be filled with more product and shipped back to the customer. If we can get a lot of reuses out of that product, out of that packaging, you're making a big dent in your brand's sustainability story. You're really moving it forward. Making a box or a pouch or something that's reusable at the consumer side, you're not really making as big of an impact. Because the reality is, at some point, consumers reach a saturation point where they can't reuse their packaging anymore. I mean, how many Apple boxes do you have and how many of them do you actually reuse, right? And when we're talking about like an iPhone box, how many of those do you actually have in your home that you're using for another purpose other than just sitting on a shelf somewhere collecting dust? There's not a lot. All right, so up next is something that I talk about all the time, which is educating the consumer and working within the infrastructure that's available to you. So making sure that you're designing packaging for the particular infrastructure that's available to you, where your customers live. Not where you live. Nobody cares where you live. Where do your customers live? If you live in New York, but you're selling in Florida, what's the infrastructure for recycling there? That's what matters. And that's how you can be more sustainable. Let's listen to Katie. International Direct Packaging is the only factory direct packaging manufacturer with global showrooms. They design and produce packaging for established luxury brands. Because IDP's team of packaging experts design and manufacture packaging, you get a more transparent supply chain, and you're also not going to be paying distributor markups. Find the nearest IDP showroom to schedule your first packaging consultation at idpdirect.com. Because IDP doesn't source factories, they are the factory. idpdirect.com. Stay up to date with package design news. Join me, Evelio Matos, Corey Connors, and Adam Peek every Monday at 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on LinkedIn Live for the package design news. 15 minutes of the latest in packaging news. See you there. Check out SpecRite, the number one platform for specification management. Not sure what board your box uses? Not sure how many colors or how much headspace your packaging requires? If you don't SpecRite, you'll guess wrong. SpecRite.com. Let's listen to Katie.
Replace the materials used in the past with more sustainable alternatives that are a fit for the infrastructure at hand. And you can also consider where you can invest as a brand in order to make these more efficient and perhaps increase the recovery rates. So for instance, you know, if you are using 100% virgin paper, you can replace that with paper that, let's say, has 50%, 40%, or maybe even 100% of recycled content in it. And therefore, you know, is there anything that you can do as well within your particular geography? Is there anything in particular that you can do to increase the recovery rates? Or is there certain communication that you can have with your consumer to guide them, you know, how to dispose of it? Especially when it comes to those more novel materials, it gets really tricky and sticky because the infrastructure most likely and most often is just not there. Therefore, depending what kind of sustainable story you want to write, or, you know, service that you might want to design around collection of certain waste and then disposing it on your own, on your own back, basically, yeah, depends where on the legislation within that particular region as well.
All right, so this is a question that I get asked a lot, which is, how do I find out what's being recycled where? And the simple answer is that you've got to pick up the phone and you've got to call the different MRFs in that particular region. Whether you're in Europe, whether you're in the US, it doesn't really matter. You've got to pick up the phone and find out what's happening where. At the beginning of the pandemic, oil was really cheap and people were not recycling plastics. There was just no demand for it. It cost too much money to recycle it versus how much they could actually get back from it. So they were losing money. In that case, all plastics that went to the recycling center went to the landfill. So why does that matter to you? Because you don't know what they're recycling today. You don't know what they're recycling tomorrow. If you're making a decision based on what's happening today or what you thought was happening, you might make the wrong decision. Pick up the phone, call a wide variety of different MRFs. If you sell nationwide, then you need to call all the states. Call as many different cities as you can and find out what they're recycling, what they will accept. One thing that Tom Zaki said was when you call the MRFs is that you don't call and ask, can you recycle this material? Because everything is technically recyclable and it means that yes, they can recycle anything. So the answer they're going to give you is yes. That's not the answer you want, and that's not the question that you want answered. What you want answered is, if this material shows up at your MRF, will you have it recycled? Will you be able to sell it to recycle it? Are you excited if this material of my packaging shows up at your MRF? Now they've got to think, do I want that product arriving here for me to process and potentially not sell or sell? And that's when they're going to be honest with you. They'll say, yes, we want it. No, we don't want it. And if we don't want it, we need to make these changes in order for us to accept it. That's a really critical conversation that you must have. And thank you, Katie, for bringing that up. So besides reducing, reusing, there's recycling. How important is recycling to keep things in those circular loops?
All products are designed for death. So that means basically designing for recycling that the post-consumer waste, or perhaps giving it into energy recovery. But recycling is the key, is the goal. So we can make sure that the material value keeps in those circular economy material flow loops, basically.
So next we've got Bo Peck, and he's a US-based director of zero waste services in Utah, where they only promote what's called a clean stream recycling system. It's not your closed lid type system where you throw everything into a container and then it gets picked up and gets separated. You actually have to separate it at the source, which is the consumer. Consumer is responsible for sorting their own waste in order for it to get recycled. This means there's a lot of education that happens. The recycling stream is a much cleaner resulting product. They're able to receive a higher dollar value for that product. It's important for designers to understand what happens to their packaging after it's disposed of. And here, Bo is going to explain what happens to products in a closed lid system, which is what you typically have, where you have two bins, all your recyclables go into one container, and then all your other trash goes in the other.
It's in a closed lid system. They end up throwing it in without really thinking about who has to deal with that product. That industry is really fast paced. And ultimately, if it's something that the recycler does not want, it's kind of an imaginary tale that, oh, someone else is going to take the time to pick through this package and remove plastic clips or plastic windows from that product and do all that work for me. But it's so fast paced that it ends up just being discarded as quickly as it comes in the plant, because it's on to the next thing down the line, because these are very, very fast speed systems that people don't have time for. The industry doesn't have time to slow it down and to nitpick.
All right, so why is it important to understand closed lid systems? Because when you're designing packaging, if you have, for example, an aluminum can and you've got a plastic locking device on the lid. Sounds crazy, but Game Fuel does it. Mountain Dew has done it. When you've got that much plastic attached to the lid of an aluminum can, that can probably won't be recycled. We're talking about a material that is infinitely recyclable, that is in high demand and has a high dollar value to it, won't get collected because there's more plastic bound to this piece than there is aluminum. And when you're designing packaging, you've got to consider, if I add an additional piece of material, if I add a new component to this, is it going to, in effect, ruin the recyclability or ruin the chances of recyclability for this pack? It's important to understand that recycling is a high-speed system with a lot of automation, and there's not a lot of decision-making. So if you put stuff in your recycling bin because you think, I think they can separate this, or you wish that it's going to get recycled, which is called wish cycling, or as I call it, sustainable, this is not the reality. It's going to go by so fast, the machines are going to separate it because there's no time, and all your design effort into creating sustainable packaging just goes to waste, literally. Hey, PDU crew, I want you to go to diecuttemplates.com/unboxed, UNBOXD. Right now. And the reason is because I know how difficult it is to create die lines, how time consuming it is to do it in Illustrator. And if you don't have tens of thousands of dollars to be using other programs, and all you want to do is get to the packaging design, diecuttemplates.com/unboxed is the right solution. Over 700 die lines, type in your dimensions, your material weight. If you want to add locks, if you want to add windows, any type of construction you're looking for, they've got it, and you can customize it to your needs. Check out diecuttemplates.com/unboxed, UNBOXD, and let me know what you think. It's critical that you understand the materials that you're choosing for your packaging in order to be sustainable. You have to consider that the materials that you're selecting for your packaging are going to become somebody else's material down the line. Now, Bo does a great job of explaining how this functions and how you should consider it. So let's take a listen to Bo, because he's going to answer this way better than I can.
The reality is recyclers are manufacturers of raw products. So for instance, if you have a farmer, maybe one farmer is a grain farmer and he's farming wheat, and the farmer next to him is a farmer and he's gathering up corn. They each take their bushels of corn and wheat to market, and they have certain expectations that they have to meet. So if they're going to grind that down and take that wheat and make flour, they can't have any other items in there. They can't have any corn mixed in with that bushel. It has to be clean. It has to be free from dirt, mold, all kinds of stuff to be able to market that material. Same with the corn. You can't have a couple of grains of wheat in with that bushel of corn, because people have items such as food allergies and you're concerned about the quality of product. Recycling is much that way. So when a recycler bundles, for instance, a bale of cardboard, that is a raw ingredient that is going to be marketed and transported to a new facility to make new paper goods. And it is critical that that item that that mill is purchasing is clean, pristine, and ready to go. And if there's any issues with it, it really puts a halt on the recycling process in the industry. And so when people start to think of recycling more as a good, as a resource, that's the reality in recycling. So if I have, for instance, a lot of plastic windows in my cardboard bale because the packaging that was generated in there has all those items in there, it ultimately is a contaminant that is going to mess up the paper making process. They have safeguards in place that clean that paper, but ultimately if it gets too excessive, they're buying material and ultimately throwing a part of it away. So it becomes less valuable to that end user if there's a lot of contamination.
All right, so what are the actionable items that we can walk away from this episode with? One, we understand sustainability. And the fact that sustainability isn't recycling. Sustainability is reducing the amount of impact that our packaging has, that our product has on the environment. The goal is to strive for the least impact if we can't achieve zero. That means selecting materials that make sense, materials that might be close to your manufacturing so that you're not having to ship materials across the oceans, fly them over countries in order to get specific materials. Anything that you can do to reduce your carbon footprint, the amount of waste, and then on the backside of that, how can you recoup that material? Is it through recycling? Is it through reusability? You know, creating a plan for your packaging and your sustainable message is critical at this point. What else can we take away from this episode? We know the right questions to ask. We know how important it is to reach out to MRFs and incorporate them into the process, collaborate with them, and have them help you decide what materials to actually use, because they're the ones that are going to be on the back end collecting it and reselling it. If they don't want your packaging, they're not going to sell it. It's not going to get recycled, no matter how many Chasing Arrows logos you put on your packaging. It just doesn't work that way. So that's a great one to walk away from this with that you can use today. Start calling MRFs and find out if your packaging is as recyclable as you think it is. Another actionable item you can walk away from this with is really looking at your packaging from a supply chain standpoint, not just the packaging that's being delivered to your consumer, but taking a step back and looking at all of the packaging that's going through your supply chain to move your product from point A to point Z. Can you make that packaging reusable and really reduce and reuse that packaging? Because that's the packaging that goes to waste. Are you in control of it? Are they actually recycling it? Become more involved in the packaging that consumers don't see because there's so much more of it. And then on the packaging that consumers do see, make sure that you're making the right choices on materials and communicating clearly to consumers how to break those products down and recycle them. And then finally, just understanding how recycling works is going to help you become a better designer and make better choices, because you're going to question the materials that you're incorporating into your packaging. If you're combining materials that are not recyclable together and are not easy to separate, you've just doomed that packaging to be unrecyclable everywhere. Make sure that you're considering not just the recycling process, but the separation process that comes before that. If the automated equipment can't determine what material it is, it's going to landfill. So make sure that you make things really clear. You don't coat your uncoated papers with plastic lamination, because all of a sudden that paper box is now a plastic piece of landfill. There's so many ways that you can become more sustainable and help your brand become more sustainable. But this is just a few ways to get started. If you have any questions, please reach out to me on LinkedIn or go to packagedesignunbox.com. Leave me a voicemail there. I'm happy to answer them. I'd love to hear from you.